Thanks for listening to the Doug Gottlieb Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday, 3 to 6 Eastern, 12 to 3 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Doug Gottlieb Show at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
What up? Doug Gottlieb Show, Fox Sports Radio. Damian Lillard had 61 last night. That is a lot of points. That's a lot of points. Man, that's a lot of points. And it's kind of interesting how basketball players, I feel like, have improved and evolved. And the shots they make are far more difficult. I don't know if there's a way for them to make more difficult throws than they've ever made, right? Like, it's just interesting. Maybe a little part of the discussion. Let's have it with Danny Cannell. DK, of course, has called games for Fox. He's done things for CBS Sports.com and formerly also of ESPN. He was a great quarterback at Florida State and played the National Football League. And he joins us on the Doug Gottlieb Show on Fox Sports Radio. Danny, let's start with college football. There are some that believe the system is broken. I just think, I think a little bit otherwise, but your thoughts on why we've had all this conflicting noise, data, and different decisions made by different conferences?
Well, Doug, it's great catching up with you, man. I would say there is some dysfunction. I don't think it's broken, but I think there's clearly dysfunction. But college football has been plagued by dysfunction for 50 years. You know, like, it's been a long time. I mean, just go back and look at how they've determined a national champion forever. Like, it's just, you know, you used to have co-champions. We used to have the press would vote on a national champion, or the coaches would vote on a national champion. You'd have split down the middle. Then you have this new system where they come up with a playoff, but it's not really a playoff because there are only four teams and they're invited to basically an invitational. So it's been, you know, just the dysfunction has been there all along. I do think a problem has been, and, you know, it's funny because I think people criticize the lack of leadership in college football. And that's very true, but it's part of the dysfunction, right? Like, who are you criticizing if you're criticizing the lack of leadership? If you criticize the NCAA, well, they don't really manage the Power Five. The Power Five kind of does their own thing. They're run by the college football playoff because that's the moneymaker, right? And then if you criticize the Power Five, like, who are you going specifically after? The Big Ten, because they do their own thing. The SEC does their own thing. So there is a lack of a leader, I think, is probably the best way I would describe it. And I've been saying that college football needs a commissioner or a czar or somebody, at least at the Power Five level, because those are the ones that you're probably going to watch on TV the most, right? The USCs, the UCLAs, the Alabama, Ohio State. They could use a commissioner to kind of be the go-between between the Power Five commissioners, and just to kind of hold them accountable so that you're not in the situation you are today, which really just glaringly, you know, shows all of the, you know, the warts that are on college football when you've got two conferences that are referencing their medical advisory boards and they're saying, we can't do this, it's not safe, but you've got three other conferences that are saying, our medical advisory boards are telling us we can do it safely, not safe, but safer. So it's massively confusing to the college football fan, and I think it's completely understandable why it is so.
Danny Cannell joining us in the Doug Gottlieb Show on Fox Sports Radio. I think the, you know, a good portion of the problem with having a football czar is, like, who do you answer to? They all have, there's so many conflicting alliances, you know? I mean, the perfect example is you still have the Bulls. Why? Because the Bulls still, you know, they're owned by the TV network. Or there's a historic part to it, and there's a huge financial component to it. Like, it's, you're trying to unwind 100 years of history, and that's very difficult to do. And if you look at it, and as you played it, and I've covered it, and I was part of it from the basketball side, you know, it wasn't that long ago where you had two national champions. Then we went to the BCS mode. Now we have the playoff. So we actually are getting better, but this is just kind of the process of getting better, is that sometimes, you know, sometimes there are arguments, sometimes there's a split off and a break off.
Absolutely. And I do feel Like, this has exposed a lot of problems in college football. I think we are on the precipice of change, whether that change is good or bad. You and I are on the same page, I feel like, for the most part. I feel like I've evolved a little bit more than you. And that's not a good or a bad thing. I just feel like I'm more open to, you know, exploring, not paying the players. I don't want the players to be paid as employees. I think that opens up a can of worms that we do not want to go down. And I think you're on the same page with me in that. I'm okay with the name, image, and likeness. I think that's a pretty good compromise. But one of the things that's been really frustrating to me is that the people that cover college athletics, both basketball and football, have been campaigning for, I would say, at least a decade and probably much longer than that, to blow up the sport, like to really see, because they want to see the players paid. I mean, and that's basically the bottom line. They feel like the players are exploited. That's why they use terms in their articles like unpaid labor. I mean, there's very specific buzzwords that people use that very clearly express what they think. I don't think it's unpaid labor. And I keep reminding people, they do get paid. They are getting cash in the form of a stipend that they can do anything they want with. And it's cash in their pocket. So, like, you have to kind of correct some people that, but everybody says it enough, it becomes true. And, like, you've got players out. Yes, there are some players, I think it's a minority, that feel exploited. And they're probably the players that are going to get paid millions of dollars of anyway. But when a guy like Tuff Borland, who's a captain of Ohio State's football team, comes out and says, wait, we don't feel exploited at Florida State. We feel cared for. We feel like our health and safety is a priority. We feel like we love playing college football, and we want to do everything to do that. That gets completely ignored by the majority of college football media. And I feel like this massive push, and I think this is honestly, Doug, I think it's a big reason why we are here today with two conferences shut down, is because of the massive push. It's pushing the exploitation, and you can't, how dare you subject these unpaid athletes to that risk? I think that's a massive reason why we are where we are sitting here today with two conferences postponing.
And I think I would go along with you. We disagree in the name, image, and likeness just because it opens up that same can of worms of paying players, because that's what it feels like anyway. But without getting kind of into that nuanced argument, I think the point you make is a really, really good one. And it goes along. I think what this exposes is not only do players want to play and they're not really being exploited, but they are being crazily cared for. The perfect example of that is what the Big 12 has decided to do, right? Where, you know, they announced that, you know, to return to play after a positive test, you get an EKG, you get a special blood test, a cardiac MRI. And then non-conference opponents have to go through all this. Like, you start to realize, like, look, dude, these dudes are covered, are cared for with kid gloves. They're on contracts that they're unfireable, right? As long as they, you know, as long as there's not cause, right? They're just basically unfireable, uncuttable contracts into a system of college athletics, or just college, that they probably couldn't get into on their own. And even if they could afford to pay for, they would have had to been carrying college debt, which they don't. You and I kind of agree on those things. But I do think that this actually points out how much players themselves really actually love what they do. You know, they play in football and they get to play for a school. It's really, really cool. And that the schools actually do care. Now, are they shutting down out of the goodness of their hearts? Probably not. You know, they just don't want somebody to get a heart virus and die, which, right, I think is reasonable for anybody.
Totally. I think that is the specific reason, is the what if the worst case happens? And I think that terrifies every school. And I think it should. I think that should be a concern. I think that's what's driving these decisions. I think every university president is terrified of losing their job if they gave the A-OK and said, yep, we're going to take on that risk. And even as small as it is, I understand it. Now, I am more, let's give it a try. Not tomorrow, not in a week, maybe not even in a month. But I'm more like, I think the SEC and the ACC, by extension, the Big 12, have taken the smart approach, which is buying time, saying, we're not, and Greg Sankey, the commissioner of the SEC, came out and said, are we going to play football? I don't know, but we're going to give it a try. And they're basically saying, let's see what happens when the kids get back on campus. Because most programs have done a pretty good job of having pretty low positive numbers. There were some circumstances at Clemson that had, you know, 40 that was pretty, that was 2 months ago. Those players are mostly back and kind of full, and a lot of them were asymptomatic. But I do think like that is what I would recommend. And I think what could happen, the school presidents that were worried about losing their job if a player, you know, got hospitalized or got, or God forbid, was had a tragic death on their hands, could lose their job. I think those same school presidents could lose their job if, and this is a massive if, the SEC and the ACC and the Big 12 pulled it off successfully. I think they're, especially at Ohio State or Michigan or Nebraska, who have been very vocal about wanting to play, if another conference plays and completes a season, I think those same university presidents who were worried about their job might have people asking, why didn't we play at the same thing? It's a really a no-win situation.
Do you think Nebraska or Ohio State can play, find a way to play games?
Well, Nebraska was probably the most vocal from several standpoints. I know Ohio State, and you know a lot of people have said that, but like Scott Frost saying, we are going to explore other avenues, that was shot down pretty quickly by most people that cover the sport. And then the commissioner of the Big Ten, Kevin Warren, came out and said, all right, you want to play that game. If you want to go play somewhere else, you're no longer a part of this conference and you're not getting your $50 million payday from being in our conference. And like, I would love for Nebraska to give them the middle finger and be like, we'll see you. We're going to go somewhere else. But the options of where they could go aren't exactly feasible because they can't go back to the Big 12. The Big 12 is pissed at them for leaving a couple years ago.
Yeah.
They can't go to the...
I don't listen. Like, let's have a real conversation here, okay? So,
yeah.
I do think there's a potential gray area that they're both going to try to explore, which is play those teams but not play as a member of their conference,
right?
Which is to be the one non-conference game. Like, hey, we'll go through all the protocols. Like, because if you look at the Big 12, what they've said is well, you can play them as a non-conference opponent if you go through all the protocols. Nebraska's sitting there going like, well, we can do that. Ohio State's sitting there going like, well, we can do that. ACC, remember their schedule? They have room for one non-conference game, and there's Notre Dame sitting right out there, you know, who's that's a potential bus trip for one or both of them. So I would love to see it. I mean, wouldn't it be amazing?
I would love it, and I would love them to do it successfully. Like I do feel like there are some people, and I've taken them. I've been very vocal on Twitter about this, I hate referencing Twitter on an interview where people are like, "What are you talking about?" But I do feel like there is an environment that we live in, and it's politically, it's delved into athletics, it's delved into every area. There is an element that don't think football can be pulled off, and so they've covered it from that angle, and they're kind of coming out with an "I told you so." I told you we couldn't play. I'm the exact opposite. I've been trying to propose the best case examples, and I want to be right. And for that reason, I am rooting for. I would love to see Nebraska get it done. I don't know if they can. I mean, who knows? Maybe they have an outbreak or one of these schools. I would love to see it. I would love to see American ingenuity and American ability and like will and fortitude and hopefully common sense with wearing masks and social distancing and just taking basic care and trying to do your best to be cautious. All of those things coming into play and having a massive success story as opposed to just closing the door. We're closed for business and we're going to come out when the sun comes out again. Like that is my human nature that is in me, and I hope that happens, but I honestly have no idea if it could. But I'm with you. I would love for Nebraska to explore those. I don't know how the TV contracts work. Like, that's the other thing I've heard. Well, yeah. But I do think the TV networks are desperate for inventory, and they'd be willing to listen to a one-year clause that let them out if it meant, you know, hey, if you're going to let out of the Big Ten, are you going to give us back something in return? You know, like if you're ESPN or Fox or Big Ten Network, you're probably not getting on there. But I think some of these TV networks would be willing to make some concessions just to get some inventory.
If I'm Big Ten Network, I do whatever it takes. Whatever it takes.
Yeah.
Hey, you guys go out and find games. Fine, we'll broadcast them. We'll put them on. We have no. Pac-12 Network has no programming. Mike Yam just left. They got no program. What are they going to do?
Do you think Kevin Warren, the commissioner, would let them? Because that would be really bad optics. Like, it does make the conference look bad. And, you know, these are very territorial. You're either all in or you're all out. It does make your bosses, I don't even know the right term, but like it makes the group look bad if you get a couple that are out there, which is why Kevin Warren threatened Nebraska because he doesn't want to look bad. So, but I would love for, because I do think that's ultimately why it doesn't get done. because, like, if Nebraska could join full time and, like, it's basically like you or I, like, we both have employers. We work for, I work for Sirius, CBS, you work for Fox Sports. If you thought there was a better opportunity and they said you can't work, and they said if you go work somewhere else, you're done. Right. You would take that opportunity if it was better and the pay was equal. You would take the opportunity probably. Nebraska, I don't know if that opportunity exists, I guess is my point. Like, I don't think the SEC would have them join. The ACC, like, I think you want to get wild and crazy. Let's take ACC and say, hey, bring on Nebraska and Notre Dame as full-time members. Then you got 16 teams. All of a sudden, ACC looks much better, you know, in a lot of ways. But I just don't know if they can afford it this time to match the $50 million payday that Nebraska gets from the Big Ten.
No, it's a absolutely fair and valid point. And it is, we are at this weird kind of crossroads in time. It'll be fascinating to see how exactly it plays out. DK, thanks so much for joining us. Love those beach pictures every morning. You're obviously living a tough life out there in the beach in Florida. Let's talk soon.
You got it, man. I see your pictures with the kids, man, being a good dad. You're setting a good example. I'm trying to follow it.
18 holes of my son yesterday and with a buddy of mine at Brentwood Country Club. And it is I don't give away top 10 days very easily. It is a top 10 day. It was pretty special.
Nothing better. Awesome, man. I'm jealous.
I didn't play with your daughter. Good stuff, DK. We'll talk soon.
See you, bud.
Danny Cannell joining us. A tale of caution for all college and professional athletes. Everyone thought this NFL star had a great plan. Now it seems to be the opposite. I'll share that with you next.
Be sure to catch the live edition of the Doug Gottlieb Show weekdays at 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app. Broadcasting live from the studio.
Doug Gottlieb Show, Fox Sports Radio. The Nebraska thing intrigues me because what's happened with Nebraska, when they left the Big 12, they got more money to join the Big 10. And the Big 10 is more prestigious academically. It's like the meetings everybody wants to be in on, right? Like, oh, Michigan, Ohio State, Northwestern, Wisconsin. It's like state university royalty, you know? And I thought it made sense from that perspective. But the problem is where you're going to get the players from. And when they were in the Big 12, that puts you in Texas like five times a year. And it puts you on Texas television sets 10 times a year. Whereas when you're in the Big 10, now you're appealing to the Midwest where kids would rather go to school right down the street. You know, even an Indiana kid, Nebraska, it's great, but maybe I go to IU or Purdue, or I could go to Ohio State. If I'm a high-level kid, I can go to, you know. So I think that getting back, the Big 12 gives them better players. The Pac-10 gives the Big 10 gives them more prestige and more money. And I think there is a middle ground there for Nebraska if they can find a way to play Big 12 opponents while still being in the Big 10. And so much is about program momentum. Program momentum. I'll get back to this in a second. I want to see if we can get Nick Baugh on. He'd be great. He obviously lives in Omaha, and he has used to do a sports radio show there. Now, obviously, he does his podcast, which really focuses on Nebraska sports. Reach out to him in a second, but. I saw this story, and this is a really interesting one, and it does apply to college football players who, you know, before some of them pulled out, I'm going to opt out and not play this year. The kid at Virginia Tech, at Penn State, yada, yada. And to NFL players who have threatened, hey, I'll sit for a year. This is Le'Veon Bell. Le'Veon Bell, I remember 2 years ago he sat, last year he played with the Jets. Quote, this has been the best I felt, and I'm ready to show it. I'm ready to show the best Le'Veon Bell has ever played in the NFL. In a candid interview, Bell said that he succumbed to complacency. It's not something I set my mind to do, but I think I kind of got complacent in my head. I've been hearing it was O-line issues or Coach Gase not getting me the ball. I had to look at myself and was I really the best I could be? I know I wasn't. I wasn't even close. This year is going to be a lot different in that aspect. I want you to think about this for a second. Have you, do you, you know, you're probably a solo workout guy. You ever go work out with a buddy? How much better is that? Right? It's better. Yeah, you're talking, but you're also pushing each other. And like, you don't want to seem like whatever he lifts, you want to lift a little more. And then you lift more and he wants to lift more. And you guys kind of push yourself back and forth. You know what I'm talking about? This is the best I've felt. Right? So now take a breath and have the perspective of the fact he didn't play football for a year. So you can set your mind on not being complacent, on working hard, on getting better, on your body getting right. But the reality of it is you take more days off. You don't have a game this Sunday. You don't have to prepare mentally, physically for the game. You don't have a game next Sunday. You know what? I'll take a little bit more time off. My body feels better. Now you spend your time getting back into shape instead of getting into crazy, crazy shape. All these guys that have said, I'll sit for a year and I'll train, I'll prepare. You've never sat and prepared and not had a coach or a strength coach on your ass every day. You might have redshirted 1 year in college. Even that is hard. Now consider you're redshirting without the coach or the strength coach overseeing you and the thoughts of trying to play on that specific team.
Be sure to catch the live edition of the Doug Gottlieb Show weekdays at 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific.
Doug Gottlieb Show, Fox Sports Radio. Yeah, I'm watching. There's another show that's on TV in a different network. And what does it say about the ACC and the SEC and the Big 12 that they're still playing football? Well, I don't know. I mean, it feels like they want to play football. There's always an ulterior motive. When did we get to this place where everybody has a negative ulterior motive? I don't get it. I don't understand. They want to use it. Danny Cannell made a great point that they want to use their unpaid labor force to generate, like, hey, dude, I hate to break it to you, okay? But no one has ever been able to live in the United States on no money. It just doesn't. Right? Like even the government handouts where they print out money, essentially that is our tax money. We're getting it back, like, you know, or they're repurposing tax money and using it, taking it from other places and using it. And eventually somebody's gonna be like, hey, you borrowed money, you owe me some money, right? Money is not an evil word. It doesn't mean it should be the only driving force behind what you do, but money is not an evil word. And the way in which the system is wired, you have to generate some revenue there in order to keep people employed. If you don't have college football, like, look, you got people on ESPN talking about, no, you're going to have college football. Like, okay, 30% of your behind the scenes workforce will lose their jobs if there's no college football. I like at Fox, think of the leagues we have. The Big Ten is our baby. That was a devastating, and the Pac-12 after dark. Right, those 2/3 of the college football programming just went away. So, am I sensitive to the players? Yeah, except they actually want to play. To the coaches, like, yeah, they just want to play. It's about liability. And then, meanwhile, you know, I'm also sensitive to all of the people who are able to be gainfully employed because they cover. And they promote the sport and the players that play it. What does it say? It says that they have a plan that they can put in place and that they feel pretty good about no one getting gravely ill from. Music, what's your... You and I, we see the world similarly, differently. I was playing golf yesterday and I got a text, Big 12's plan. What do you think of where we are with college football?
I definitely, look, there are some obvious risks in place as to why I think they're being cautious, but I largely agree with what you've said in terms of it seems as though the Big 12 has come up with the plan that fits the best, whereas the Big 10 and the Pac-12 seem to make a very quick reaction to let's just pack it up and try again later. I don't understand enough about the behind-the-scenes workings to know why they needed to make that decision right now and why they couldn't just say, hey, you know, our first game is in early September. So kids are already here practicing, and they're still letting them practice, which is why none of this seems to make sense. I saw a tweet from a player at Ohio State where he said, I can't believe they just told me that my season's canceled and I'm checking my email inbox, and now the university's promising me that we're going to have a safe school year with 40,000 kids on campus. So I think that's the part that doesn't make very much sense about what they're doing is, what is the difference in liability for a football player versus having students on campus?
Well, again, that's because he represents your school. And because the idea that, and this is the problem with football, right? Is that you're putting him in harm's way in representing the school. But you were putting him in harm's way as a football player previously, you know?
Right.
So there's the contradiction there. Byer, where are you on this? I'm always interested in your opinion.
Sorry, I was checking out something else in terms of just the college football season going forward, or in how we look
at
that.
Well, I mean, just the idea that the Big 12 is playing, or saying they're going to play, and the Pac-12 and Big 10 is saying not.
I will say this, because I had a conversation with a buddy last night. By the way, the A's took a 3-1 lead on your Angels. So that's, I was just wondering how
they
did that.
The number of Trout home runs, you know, since he's had the baby is pretty amazing.
Yeah, and it's number 8 on the season. What I told my buddy last night, what I felt is that I think that fans of the Big Ten, because we both went to Big Ten schools, and of the Pac-12, that we feel like there wasn't much of an effort to attempt to figure out a plan to play this season. Where when even if you listen to Bob Bowlesby's comments of the Big 12, they have a plan. It sounds like they're making an effort. I know the Big Ten released their schedule last week, but that was another part of it, is how can you release a schedule and then have things change so quickly? I think that was the tough part of fans don't just see how maybe they tried to make an effort to move forward. That was the difficult part, I think, as Big Ten fans of being like, oh, it's just done. And even Ryan Day, like, had said it prior to yesterday's announcement, I think on Monday, was saying, you know, it's so abrupt to how they're going to do it. I think that stuck.
I think they freaked out.
I did too. And I told Ryan this yesterday. I think that John may have heard it as well. What I'm afraid of is, you know, I don't think it's a matter of people wearing masks and people being safe and stuff like that. These issues still would have been there, I think, if everybody had the same protocol, especially with the heart condition stuff that you just don't know about. But now I'm just kind of like worried that people just could be like, oh, we don't have college football, the heck with it. I might as well just do something that I want to do since I don't have college football. Like, those are other concerns going on. And I think that when people see the lack of effort, or for what they presume to be of a lack of an effort to even try to play the season, was disheartening for Big Ten and Pac-12 fans.
Yeah, I just think, I don't know, it was lack of effort as much as, wait, you can get a heart condition and die from it? I'm out, right? That's really what it feels like. When you want to sit there and go like, well, hold on now. First of all, you can get the same exact thing at home. The only difference is you will never know, because you're not going to get the MRI for it, you know, the heart MRI for it. You know, you're not going to do the EKG. You're just going to recover and then take some time off. Well, you know, if you're on a college campus and you recover, then you're going to be doing strenuous activity. Like, okay, but not if they monitor the heart stuff and check you out for it. Yes, John Ramos.
I noticed yesterday they had a couple of Florida State players speaking about this, and one of them said exactly what you've been saying for the last many weeks, which is, we're safer here. We're safer playing on the campus than we would be at home doing nothing or going around and hanging out with our whatever. So it's quite interesting. I feel like the players also feel, well, not all of them, but those players and many of them, I guess it's the ACC, right, Florida State, feel the same way that you're saying now, which is, hey, we are safer in this place at school working with our teammates and being a team.
Go ahead, John. Go
yeah,
ahead,
there's also the of that heart condition report, and I don't know what day it exactly came out, but Jim Harbaugh makes his list of things that they have done to try to work within the protocols and work within the parameters of the virus with great success. And, you know, if I'm them, too, I'm saying, well, then why have we been doing this for 3 weeks if all of a sudden you can just shut it down like that when we've been, you know, abiding by everything that we have been told and succeeding in abiding by those protocols? Now, all of a sudden, you want to, you know, shut it down just like that? Like, then why?
Because I think they got this new information like a week ago. Yeah. That's what I was. So it was like a week ago I was told they got this new information on the heart and it started to spread and they started to be like, oh, we can't do this. From the Big Ten people. And the ACC has a doctor who's like, well, this is totally to be understood in terms of percentage with any sort of virus of this nature. And, you know, there's a different view on it and a different view with how you, you know, on what it actually means. So some of this is doctors don't always agree with one another, you know?
Well, true. Absolutely, Doug. And, you know, here's the other thing, though, with it. Like, if that report comes out for a week with this virus, and I'm not questioning the validity of the report, but right, so many things have changed from when this really, when we shut down everything in March, you can do this, you can't do this, this does this, this doesn't do that. Like, things have changed to have that one report and then immediately make the decision on it, I think is also just, you know, like, if, you know, maybe something else comes out at some point in a week or two and then you're like, okay, now we really have to shut it down. I just think that the optics of it just didn't sit well with Big Ten and Big 12 or Pac-12 fans.
Ryan, thoughts?
Yeah, it just seemed far too reactionary. Like, I guess obviously the heart condition is concerning, but it quickly went from, as Dan had mentioned, well, we're going to release these schedules because clearly we're working towards, you know, making it work one way or another, to just, oh, here's a potential side effect, the season's over. Like, there was no, I mean, I guess over the past week, privately behind the scenes, they were trying to work on some type of middle ground, but it seemed like they were, okay, the season's happening, and very quickly we just decided, nope, not happening, and we're not even going to try and make it happen, so it's over. Next, you know, moving on to the spring.
It so reminds me of your buddy who's like, you know, they found those Starbucks stoppers can transmit COVID 10 times more than anything else, and then you're like, huh? And then a week later, it's like, yeah, that was just made up. Like that, there's so many like things that pop up, and I'm not, again, not saying that this is made up, but it's just the sudden reaction of boom, boom, boom. Like, oh, okay, this. All right, then we'll, you know, we'll make this decision.
Yeah, yeah. Look, I'm fascinated by the whole thing. It's one of the few times which the Big 12 has looked like a leader as opposed to previously. I just, you know, like, you just want not to lead you off the cliff. You want to lead them to the promised land, but it does feel like Bob Boolsby has a plan, and these seem to be reasonable plans. And I also like that he's like, look, this could change very, very quickly, and we could change course really quickly. It gives him an out. Coming up next, Colin Cowherd is worried about his buddy LeBron and his chances to win the NBA title. I'll give you my thoughts next.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live. And now,
what does the Fox say? This is Colin Cowherd talking about the Lakers.
They don't have anybody to guard those guys. They've run out of guards. I mean, I guess we can once again ask LeBron to carry a franchise. This is what we do. LeBron, just make it work. The Lakers are last offensively in the bubble in everything. That's with LeBron. At some point in his 17th year, we can't ask LeBron to do everything all the time. Yes, he's great. So was Jordan, but Jordan went 8 years between James Worthy in college and Scottie Pippen with a title. He couldn't do everything. New staff, new position, old roster. The reality is, this was a big year for LeBron. This was really an opportunity for LeBron. I've said before, I think this was the best one. Anthony Davis is healthy. Anthony Davis, who's had injury issues. LeBron's in his 17th year. They got a four-month body break. This was just perfect for them. And the Clippers' chemistry, which was a little odd, they didn't play for 4 months. So that makes it even weirder. It's just going to be very interesting. Avery Bradley was a real loss. And I'm not blaming people for opting out, but it's interesting. I don't think we can just keep asking LeBron to put on the cape and save the day.
Yeah, I would agree. It's something I recorded in Brand New All Ball with my friend Pete Lisicki, who played at Penn State. But one of the things that I said in the All Ball is, like, has anybody noticed that LeBron is not the same guy athletically? He's always been a bully ball guy, but now that's really his only game is bully ball. So I was like, you watch him. And it's just not, does not have the same burst. And nor should he. You can't play that long in the NBA, that size, still have the same giddy up. I mean, Chris Paul used to be an absolute lightning bug. And he's still very effective, but he has to be much more clever about it because at some point, as you age, your speed and your quickness wanes. Same with LeBron. LeBron's just much bigger and much stronger. I don't think what Colin's saying is wrong. I think the supporting cast isn't great. I think Avery Bradley did screw the team. But I also think it's fair to say LeBron isn't the same guy he used to be. What does the fuck say? This fight for the last seed in the Western Conference is interesting. Blue Emu Maximum Pain Relief works fast so you won't stink. It's pharmacist recommended, odor-free pain relief for muscle pain, backache, strains, sprains, and even arthritis. There's no stinging or burning involved. It's simple pain relief. Blue Emu Maximum Pain Relief works fast and you won't stink. We're going to go to Nebraska next hour because I want to see if Nebraska doesn't just want to talk the talk, they want to walk the walk. I got a thought on that one. We got college football eventually will start. NFL starting to get some protocols and procedures and make sure Mike Trout's hit another. Only one home run so far today, Byer. Is that right? Only one home run? I mean, Trout is on an absolute tear since they had the baby. I think he's got 7 home runs, right? Like 7 home runs in 8 games or something crazy like that. I mean, that's insane.
Yes, that is correct.
Why are you laughing?
Because John wasn't. I kept on saying, yes, Doug, he hit a home run today. And John wasn't turning on my mic. Yes. So when he turned it on, I slammed the desk.
7 home runs in 8 games. And there, by the way, there's 7-11. They are so crummy.
Why do they pitch to Mike Trout? I never understand it. I would just throw him every pitch outside and put him on base. The guy is unbelievable.
Yeah, he only has 4 walks this year, too. Right, like David Fletcher actually has, he has 17 strikeouts. He'll swing a little bit outside. I don't know. I mean, right now he's hitting everything and hitting it very far, very far. All right, we're gonna take you to Omaha. My buddy Nick Baugh, who has used to have a radio show in Omaha, now he's turned to a podcast. He's like Mr. Nebraska. We'll get his sense. Would the Huskers do it? Would they go to the Big Ten? And we're gonna go take our ball and bag and go back to the Big 12 and play those guys? Is there some sort of middle ground? We'll discuss next. The Doug Gottlieb Show, Fox Sports Radio.